Welcome to Star for the Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I've been SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Justin Wenhauer joins with a talk guest every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444, and follow the directions. The call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web, just go to the Talk Show website at www.talkshow.com. And search for call ID 17702 or Star for the Universe On Call, SFU On Call. Or if you want the best online experience, then I would suggest you go over to twitch.tv. Yes, twitch.tv/SFU On Call, and you will find us there. And of course, if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. It's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to follow me on Twitter, I have multiple accounts there. One of those is SFU On Call. Oh, shocker. And another one is my personal account, which is Paul Franz, PAULFRANZ. There is no T in that. And my business account, which is Franz Games, FRANZGAMES, if you want to keep up to date on what's happening with SFB Online and Starfleet Warlord. Feel free to follow me there. And of course, this lovely TalkCast gets turned into a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. When it comes to ADB, it's still very, very quiet. You know, I'm sure Mr. Cole is keeping up to date on his medical concerns. You know, he had a little bit of skin cancer, which had to remove on his head. So the skin was a little tight, so it really makes it really hard for him. But he's still doing good. Steve Petrick is still working on the Orion Master Starship book. I can't wait for that to come out. That'd be really nice to see. And this week, I'm found on the online store. We actually have spare parts for the Marines. So in case you have a copy of one of the Marines products, whether it Last Assault or, Last Stand or Marine Assault, forgive me, they have the colored maps for that. The Marine Assault color map is only $15. You can, it's 22 by 25 and a half. The full color map designed by Xander Fulton. For those of you in the SCP universe, you know who Xander Fulton is. And this will work with the map in Last Stand also. So they can be used together. Moving onward and forward from that, we have, the Sapphire Star 16 tournament. Well, we have 7 out of the 8 games are completed. The only game that's not completed, it's me. Me and Jeff Clark. Obviously, we have to do things a little bit at a time because he's all the way in Japan. So it's... it's more than a 12-hour, there's like a 14-hour difference, I think. Because basically, I start at 5 o'clock 8 p.m. my time, it's 7 a.m. his time, so that means it's like 14 hours difference between the two. So we can do things a little bit at a time. We're progressing. For those of you on the video feed, whether it's YouTube or live on the Twitch, you will see an update on that game. I've got basically more weapons and power than he does. He's got more shields than me. So that's the lowdown. Also, next turn, he will have no torpedoes. He only has the two S-torps available. His F-torps are gone. So he has the one S-torp, two, but he used this current turn. The other S-torp he used last turn. So his next turn, he will have no torps available, and he has no batteries. So he can't do a fast load F either. So that makes a huge, huge difference for that. So it's a really, really tight game. I've got between on my ship between everything. I've got like 14 boxes of shield. So if you actually want to see what it looks like, bring up the YouTube video or go to twitch.tv, either one, and you should be able to see the actual. Also, if you want to, I did post those pictures in the discussion board on the StarfleetGames.com website. So if you want to go see them there, you can go see them there. That's another way of seeing them. I've not actually posted them on Facebook, but it is what it is. Now, onward and forward to the online client. When it comes to the online client, actually, I did do some work this past Monday. Since I had a day off of work, I decided to focus on a feature that was requested, which is the ability to copy and paste drone layouts. And actually, this is completed. And one thing I will be doing as part of the podcast tonight is for those on the video feed, you will actually be able to see this, which is me just showing off this feature to people before we get into the month. It's probably only won't be one monster for this week. Moving onward and forward, when it comes to library ports, there's nothing new when it comes to SFB or FedCom this week. No updates, though I think there's some updates waiting for me to process for the SFB. So with that is the news for this week. And it's me, it's the Moy All Poppins, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, well, it's me, hi, and Doug. Say hi, Doug.
Hi, Doug.
Awesome. So tonight, actually, before we get on to another space monster, which we're going through them all, and talk about, I saw a couple of scenarios when it comes to the space dragons that we missed. One of those actually kind of interesting, but I think I'm just gonna let that slide because I want to move on to the next monster. But before we do, I'm gonna go do two things for those on the video feed. Numero uno, don't mind me. I need to set up my monitor over here. That and like that, and get rid of that. I need to get rid of the sound because if I don't get rid of the sound, your guys are gonna hear a really awful echo. Okay, but it's all set. Now we're gonna start with actually a quick review of the status of my tournament game. As I mentioned in the news portion, that I'm not doing too bad. Not doing great, but I'm definitely in a better situation than I was last turn. Okay, I'm gonna bring it up. Okay, this is the current map. The current map is now the one issue here. I'm right here. I am three hexes directly aft to the my opponent. Now, we're both facing each other's shield number four. So I'm facing directly away from him. He's going the opposite direction. Now, this is obviously a bad thing. Best situation would be me being up here. Now, the problem is at the moment is that I've used my one het bonus. So if I try to do another het, like let's say next turn, I have the possibility of failing. So right now we're three hexes away. I'm in hex 0308 and he's in hex 0606. So
did you show that on the map on the video feed?
Oh, that's a good thing. I forgot to switch. I forgot to switch OBS to point to my screen. There it is. For those of you on the video feed, now you can see what the actual board looks like. On the video feed, you can see that this is how Firehawk went. He started here, and he just kept on going around here and kind of finally up. He started fast and then started slowly going slower and slower until at the moment we're both moving speed 9. Me, I started over here. I was around here at the beginning of turn. And then I came up around here going, this is a side slip and then come back. So I was able to basically, since he was cornered, I was able to, I started speed 19, went down to speed 14. The idea when it comes to that was to have it so that I had two impulses in a row, which I moved. The idea was, hopefully, if he wasn't going too fast, I might actually be able to run into him. Nope, he started at speed 27. So that was nothing there. But I was able to turn here and basically pin him. So that he could not get away. And I finally slammed him against he was running against the wall. I didn't slam against the wall, but I slammed my ESG against him on his shield number 5. So at the moment, his ship looks like this. Shield number 5 is down. Shield number 2 is half, and shield number 3 is a little more, not as much. But I was able to knock a lot of his weapons, including... basically he's down to 2 phaser 1s, FX and FA, phaser 1, and a phaser 3. Also, he uses plasma A on me. It was not enveloping. I'm assuming the reason it was not enveloping was because he needed the power to move quite quickly. And unfortunately, I needed power too. Otherwise, I would have done a lot more damage to him. To do what I needed to do, because I used up all my phasers last turn, I figured the number one thing, most number critical thing to put my power towards for weapons was phasers. So I had to reload all my phasers last turn. So that's 7 points of power right there, gone. Renewing my weapons, because I actually got one phaser 1 was destroyed last 2 turns ago at this point. But so if you notice, all his batteries are gone. Both plasma F's are gone. He just had two plasma S's. He fired this one, launched this one last turn, and that wiped out my shield number 2. And so this one, it won't be available for 2 turns. The turn that's coming up, which is going to be turn 9, it won't be available till turn 10. So he won't have any heavy weapons available until for another turn. In the meantime, he still has his phasers. Now, if you notice, his shields are pretty darn good. He just has the one shield over here. Shield number 5 is down. Shield number 2, obviously got hurt, and shield number 3 got some damage from various disruptor fire that I have fired at him during the turn. Also, overall, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. He's down 8 power. So he started, if I recall correctly, he starts at 38 power, and so he's down to 30. Now, this is what's left of my ship. If you notice on this ship, I actually have many weapons. He missed on the weapons. He didn't, for the whole turn, with all the internals he got one weapon. Actually, 2 weapons, 3 weapons. He knocked out 2 phasers, 2 phaser 1s, and a disruptor. He got 3 with all the damage. Most of it, he got lots of hull. Surprisingly, quite a bit number of control spaces. So much so, I've got one control, I got two control boxes left. I got bridge and flag bridge. That's all I've got. He knocked out my emergency bridge, my aux control, and one of my bridge. I was like, what? That's weird. But also, you notice in total, between shield number four, shield number three, and shield number six, I have a total boxes of 15. 15 total
Yeah,
boxes.
you need to speed up and get that down shield of his,
Well, that's, and it's,
convince it, get rid of his plasmas.
oh, agreed.
Remaining phasers.
That's the thing. He did not hit any of my ESGs. I got both ESGs intact, which
It
is,
doesn't matter. You need to work
I
all
know.
over your list.
But same time, I kind of, okay, I'll talk about that after the game's over. There's one mistake. I think he made a huge mistake in my mind, but we'll talk about it after the game's over. That's the only reason I'm still surviving, basically.
How many weapons do you have available this turn yet?
I got them all.
You didn't fire any of them?
Oh, him or me?
You.
I have all of them are available. They just need to be charged. Remember, we just finished turn eight, impulse 32, turn eight. We're gonna start with turn nine. The problem, as I pointed out,
Oh, that map was the end of the turn.
this is the end of the turn. This is where we currently are.
Okay.
He's going that way. I'm going that way. We're center line
Yeah, I
between.
got it. I got it.
As I said, in theory, I could het, but I'm taking a chance because I've already used my het for this turn. I mean, for the game. Yeah, I did do a hit. And but you know and I took a
When
risk.
will your ESG cycle up again?
ESGs will be up again. They're available ne late this upcoming turn. Because of, I'm trying to think about, we were around the middle of the turn. Yeah, we were around the middle of the turn, late, between the middle of the turn to late, in the latter half of the turn, but still right around like impulse 20, when the ESGs went down, they finally hit him. Actually, they hit him and they hit two of his shuttles, which I destroyed. He launched them so that the idea was that so that his shuttles would absorb it. Now he's now got three shuttles are gone. He's got one shuttle left.
Do you have suicide?
I have one shuttle
Okay.
Dave's saying risk the head.
Oh,
The
yeah.
well, the key thing here
You're
would
pointed
be.
in the same direction as him right now.
No,
And
opposite direction.
opposite.
Opposite.
Oh, okay. I couldn't tell that from the picture.
Yeah,
Sorry.
I know. The point of turn. I took this right at the end of the game, right before he had to go off to work, and I did not bother to bring my counter to the top. But I'm pointing that direction.
Oh, I see where you're at. Okay.
Yeah, because I came down here, direction D, then I was able to. Then turned, side slipped. Actually, no, yeah. Yeah. Then I turned this direction and then I side slipped to here. And so I'm directly
Okay.
aft. So I'd have to head either directly facing him or this way. Tough part obviously is that he's gonna turn. Most probably he's gonna turn this direction, this way to protect that shield number five. And if I try to overrun him, he's going to batter me down with his phasers, and I'm going to take more internals and probably take some weapons are going to disappear. The good part, as I pointed out in my post, is that I've only lost 5 power of my 38. And I'm 2/3 movement cost ship.
Do you have your number four shield up?
Yes. See?
Okay.
Eek.
Because I can't see that in the video. It's cut off.
Oh, I'm sorry. This ding. That should do it. This
It's
is
not worth it. The het is a potential, but it's only really a potential if it's going to put you where you're going through one his down shield.
right. And it
That
will.
that's key.
Yep.
On
There's.
the other hand, if he turns and he puts his number three shield to you, he might brick it a little bit. But if you can turn back to him, standard disruptors and phasers should probably could take that out at medium range. So,
But the steel number three?
yeah, his shield number three.
Mm-hmm.
If he's repaired that, it looks like.
Yeah, he repaired two boxes.
But it's a 24 box shield and he's down 8, so he's
16.
got a 16 box shield. You catch him in overloaded disruptor range, there you go.
Yep.
Handful of phaser ones, disruptors. Maybe you'll take out his remaining phasers that are available through that arc and
Yeah.
his and one of his torps. And then, as long as he doesn't catch you with an enveloper, it's kind of game over.
Yeah. And remember, if we help us catch him with an enveloper, in that I still have a wild weasel available. So one more shuttle. So that's the good thing. Now,
But speed could also help with that too. Just saying, so.
Right. Question is whether he's going to start the turn fast or slow. Because
Well,
at
he's
the
got his number four at you, so there's a pretty good chance that he might go fast to put some distance and turn around
Yep.
for when he has his plasma the next turn. It might even wait another turn to get his other plasma up
He
because
has
he
to, well,
has
he, yeah,
distance.
true. The one thing he might do is want to use his phasers to whittle me down in the meantime.
Well, yeah. The problem for him is he's only got three phasers.
Agreed. And right
And
now, if it,
they don't bear.
yeah. The only currently, here's the one thing that in theory I could do, and it's a chance because I'd have to take the het and pray that I don't break down.
Yeah,
Because
and
that
you got
is,
it.
if I het directly back and use most, basically go like speed zero and do a het. And blast him with disruptors and phasers in the hope that I get his weapons. If I get his weapons, actually I won't be able to get his weapons. Because if I destroy the torp, he's gonna destroy the torp that's already used. He's not gonna destroy the one that he's charging.
Have to destroy two torps.
Yep, that means I'd have to do a Mizzia.
The problem is you're on a full strength shield right now.
Right. That's why, as I said, I had to hit him with fully overloaded disruptors, which means three of them for 24 to knock it down, and then use phasers to go to bop them,
Yeah, well, the other side is that this is a game where patience can pay off a lot too.
Oh,
And
understood.
you've got a maneuver advantage, you've got a speed advantage that you could pull. His big problem is he's down to five weapons.
All right, agreed.
That's his biggest problem. But he's got most of his shields up.
Right. But at the same time, also, he can't, he's
And
a.
you don't have to, if you go to speed zero, you don't need to head. You can turn twice before one impulse, one
Right.
warp, before he even gets out of overload range.
Oh, agreed. Agreed.
But on the other hand, you give up your speed advantage. And what
Oh.
you could do is you could just go high speed, charge your phasers, go standard disruptors, and just kind of go to town on them. Get that, just keep the pressure on that down shield, because standard disruptors at a decent bit of range, if you're getting his down shield, you got that potential to Mitzi away his torps.
Oh, agreed, agreed. If I get on the down shield, he's got a big issue.
Yeah, and even if you get on his, he could make a stern chase out of it, or he could actually head at you and basically overrun you, tractor you, because you're going so slow at the end of that turn,
But
and
so is
drop
he.
an enveloper on you.
So is he. We're both going speed 9. So both max speed for the next turn is speed 19, both of us. So it will be interesting. I gotta figure out what my plan for attack is for the turn. Because obviously if he heads and goes right towards me and tractors me, I might have an issue. That's only if I stay slow and he actually is able to catch up with me. If I'm going my max speed 19, he'll never catch me because he can't go any faster than me. And we're if you notice we're at the top corner of this is the actual corner of the map is right here. So this way is a lot of map for him. A lot of map, and my guess is that he wouldn't do that. He's probably going to take time because he's got the shield. And for him, he could survive me. Well, if he's actually able to attack me, he's able to knock things down quite easily because I don't have much shield. As you can see, no shield number one, no shield number two, no shield number five. Gone. And both, neither him or I have batteries. So that makes things interesting, as they say. As I said, unfortunately, I didn't have that much power last turn, so I fired these two disruptors here. One standard, one overload. That's it. I didn't have power enough to do anything else. Because, as I said, 7 points of power was just for charging up my phasers. I didn't have to do that, guy could have hurt him even more. And I'm not actually, we might not have a, I mean, he might be toast by then. Not sure, not sure. Because the problem is getting him more weapons. That means I'd have to do another Mizzia. Another, and I'm not sure if I would be able to have
I think
to
you
do
should
that.
go max speed and press your maneuver advantage.
Yeah.
The only problem with the head is it gives him a one-third chance of winning outright
Oh, agreed. Agreed. But
on
as
one
it.
die. So the problem is you've turned around completely.
Right.
So.
Well, as the thing is, he came around here, came down, turned here. And then right here, this is when he changed the speed 9. So he was able to go here, sideslip, turn, as you can see here, and go that way. Well, I'm coming around here, I'm facing here, and then I come down here. And when he turns, it's I'm kind of stuck at that point. Because
But you get the
he's
ball.
crossing right in front of me, and I can't turn to get myself facing towards him. So he's flying right past me. With me having nothing to, I had nothing to fire at him.
Well, the other side is you got FX disruptors.
Right.
So you could go a little bit slow in the beginning, do a quick turn, have the two FX guys on overload, then speed change up and catch his number three.
Yeah, I could
See
definitely.
if you can take that down at fairly close range and put some phasers in with it.
Yeah, because definitely, I feel pretty confident he's at the very least going to might go. What? He might go straight this way, or not straight up there, maybe straight this way, and then turn towards towards the other corner. In which case, if he does go to the other corner, I can go chase him. No, just stay here for the moment.
He's also got the enveloper coming up.
Right, that's the possibility that he might.
And if you've only got one shuttle left, it might not be a bad idea for him to go forward, turn, launch that enveloper at you, regardless of what you're going to do. Because if you spend all of your weapons on it, that's going to let him work on repairing some shields.
Yeah. But
Because the
remember,
indoor weapons.
again, Doug, remember, next turn he has no weapon, he has no torps.
This coming turn.
This coming turn, he has no torps.
Oh, in that case, go as fast as you can and just maneuver to get on his down shield. Because if you end the turn, even if you're at range 9, but you're on his down shield, four standard disruptors into that is going to put a hurting on him.
Oh, agreed. The tough part about it is that I don't think I can get on his down shield because of
Okay.
if I go up this way, he can just turn this way. If I go down this way, he'll just stay here and have this side of his ship towards the wall up here. So I don't.
I don't see him star castling
Oh, me neither.
because that would be basically an invitation for you to overrun him with ESGs.
Agreed.
So you might want to consider a slow start and a turn to your left, followed by another turn to your left, and have all your stuff overload. Because the problem he has is even if he turns up and tries to circle around in that corner, if you start off a little bit slow, you can see what his intention is. But you turn left, if you end up having to make a tight circle that keeps him in that corner, that's okay. You know,
Jeez.
because he's going to have to turn and present a shield to you at some point. And if he decides to run straight out and you manage to turn around a bit, you're going to be able to have him pinned against that wall for a while.
Oh yeah. That's the one thing is that yes. I could in theory get him cornered again. I can come
Yeah, that
around. I come around this way. He'll stay. Probably go this way and go. He's not gonna come towards me. He's probably gonna go for the upper corner.
I would go for the middle of the map if I was him. Like, try and go to the opposite corner. If he's got
You mean this?
another.
You mean down this direction? Downward?
Yeah, exactly.
So you'd want me to come around here and
What I was suggesting is it probably would behoove you to start slow with a speed change that lets you get two moves in. But also starting a little bit slow will let him make him commit to not going into that corner. If he goes into that corner, then you and you try to turn up after him, he could just as easily run back out of that corner. And he's really not going to go into that corner if it's going to give you an opportunity to overrun him with ESGs and tractoring him and everything else under the sun when he's got next to nothing.
Right.
You overrunning him with your weapon suite is the end of his ship.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go on a fully down shield or a fully up shield, because yeah, you get to point blank range, that thing's a monster.
Mm-hmm. Oh, agreed. Agreed.
The only thing he could hope to do would be to whittle off some of your weapons with his remaining three phasers.
Yeah. Because unfortunately,
that's assuming that neither of his plasmas he can't launch them as quick Fs. Would he be able to do a quick F on you?
No, as I said, he has no batteries.
No batteries. Okay then. So, if you're completely safe from him this turn.
Oh, when it comes to torps, I'm completely safe. Yes.
You're completely safe from torps.
Yes.
Then you keep him at as close a range as you can and try to maneuver to get either his number three or his number five shield. And if you could actually get any shield at range two or one, alpha that thing. And the longer it takes you to turn all the way around and get close to him, the closer you are to having your ESGs coming back online. So.
Understood.
At this point, it's like I almost wouldn't even be that concerned about the ESGs, but the problem is you have no reserve batteries, so.
Exactly.
If you're going to charge them, charge one of them.
Agreed.
Maybe not both of them.
Yeah.
You had that chance of him blowing one up.
Yeah, I have to check the rules for ESGs. I've been very poor about that.
Capacitor.
But
this version has the capacitor upgrade, so you could throw power into one of them. It's going to be there next turn if you don't use it.
Understood. But here's the thing. I think putting energy into the ESGs is a waste of energy on this turn. Because it obviously the priority weapon is phasers.
I disagree. The phasers become your priority only if he allows you to overrun him. And even if you headed, if you have speed parity together and you survive the head, you're going to be at range three, and your disruptors will do more damage. I don't see him letting
Assuming I do a hit and
that's
take the.
Assuming good. Yeah. Or even if you do the poor man's hit and you just turn twice at speed zero using impulse and warp tack, he's still going to be able to keep you out of the range where you'll be utterly devastating to him with phasers. If you both go maximum speed and you hit to go after him, you can't get any closer to him unless you get up against the wall and, well, side-slipping and going along that wall. He'll be able to keep you at that range the whole turn.
Yeah, oh, agreed.
So, I mean, your phasers wouldn't be worthless, but as far as damage output potential goes, your disruptors do so much more. And the other side of that is, if you manage to turn around and you catch a down shield, but it's outside of overload range, you can still tear up, you know, that partially down shield, or you could go through the down shield if you catch that one.
Mm-hmm.
And if you fire all overloaded disruptors at this range, You can still tear down a shield.
Oh, agreed.
You do it on impulse 32, then impulse 1 of the next turn, it's all phaser 1's in. So, I don't know, it's up to you. I mean, I would almost flip a coin, but the only thing I wouldn't want to do is give him any extra range unless you're going at max speed to turn and pin him against that wall or keep him in that corner. And I don't see turning to the right as a good option unless he had it.
Oh,
turn to the left and come down and around, you're going to be able to pin him against that wall.
Oh, agreed. And then I think that definitely, you don't want to go this way. You want to have it go to the left, because that gives me the most options. Because he's not going to, because if I go to the left here, even if I, this takes a while to come around and so forth, he's not going to want to come this direction, come straight down here, because of I can maintain range at that point. If I come down here, he's going to go flying up towards this top corner, which keeps the shield against this wall, protects this side of his ship, and so that when he comes around, he can come around this way. His number 5 shield is still against the wall instead of towards me. He's never, you know, because if he comes down this direction, at some point, he'll probably have to turn this way.
I think the ultimate thing you're going to want to do is basically get in on his, just get in on him at point blank range. Give him 4 overloaded disruptors, any phasers you can have powered, on impulse 32, and on impulse 1 of the next turn, finish him off with everything else.
Yeah, I got to repair my disruptor. I only got 3. Okay, moving on and forward before we come.
Something monsters, right?
Yeah, I'm not gonna get to the monsters yet, because I want to show. Okay, let's do single player mode. I don't want to actually have to log in to do this. And what I'm gonna do is go bring up game 1, and actually I'm gonna make this simple myself. I'm going to do a restore game. Do, 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 and bring this up. Now, do, do, do. Go over here. Go to expendables, go to C8 expendables, and seeking weapons. If you see, here's the current loadout for the C8. Now, one thing you can, the thing I just added on Monday, which was, you can have it so that, okay, like that, and why not 3? Let's make that one a 1F. Okay. Hit the copy using the keyboard command, and then paste, and you all of a sudden you got the loadouts copying from one drone rack to another. Now, given the way I'm saving it to the clipboard, there's one other thing you can do, which is here's a loadout in a text file, which is, you know, just basically what it was before, which was a type 4X, which means, I forget what that means. And then a type 1XF, which that's explosive. X means explosion, explosive. And one type 1XF is a one space explosive with fast propulsion. That's what is used in the client. So what we can do, take this, pipe this into PB copy on the Mac. What a PB copy does is it allows you to take, in this case, anything that's output to the screen, I'm piping it, means standard out is coming in as a standard in for next process. In the case of PB copy, that puts anything that's on stream in, it puts that onto the clipboard. So I'm going to put that now on the clipboard. Now, if I go up here and I hit Control V, in this case, Command V, because that's the command. And all of a sudden, now I've just pasted in the full loadout of the ship. So now players that are actually playing a ship that has a number of drone racks can actually preload their, can easily save their loadouts. Take this. Okay, I want these, just say these threes, let's copy it. Now, if I bring up my editor, let's say new dash load out, and say add and paste. There it is. There's my loadout. So then you can take that, you can save it. In the case of, obviously, for Windows, you can use like Notepad. I recommend definitely using Notepad, something that saves it as pure text. So that when you can take that, want to, it's copied. Now, if I want to, I can actually go up here and just say, okay, paste. It'll change the loadout there. So, and once you launch, you can copy these and paste these to the other ones. That I have to fix. That shouldn't be legal. that's a bug. I found a bug right here. Because one thing it definitely does, just to let you know the way it works, is that it reads the loadout from the clipboard. And first thing it does is it takes the drone rack that you highlighted. It will clear the drone rack, so it's all gone. Then what it will do is add the drones one at a time. In this case, it'll add this one and this one. So let's say this case, this is an A rack. If I had a whole setup for a B rack, this is that, and that one. Oop. Too much. Because that's currently six spaces. Let's take this, copy. Oops, I just pasted. I'm sorry. That and that. Now let's copy this time, this one. And you go to here. Since these are only four spaces, you only can copy four spaces because it will copy the type four. Then it'll copy the type one. It'll try to copy the type four and go, no, you can't. So it'll skip that one. And then it will copy the next one over, which is the type one. So it's smart in that regard. Obviously, it should not be able to do that. That's illegal. So I need to add a check into making sure that you can't load, like in the case it's an ad rack, you should only be able to paste in dogfight drones. That's the only kind of drones you can actually paste in there, that or obviously an ad round. But you should be able, but in other words, if you have also you have a bunch of ad racks, you should be able also preload those things too. So it makes things a lot easier for those who have a lot of drone racks, and you can save your loadouts locally on your machine in text files, and then just do copy paste, and set up, and so you can just quickly set up the loadouts for each of your ships. And if you know what kind of the drones you're going to have, what's the loadout? Sorry, not the loadout. What the type of drone you have? Because obviously, one of the things, you can do here is you can create your own drones. Call it a super drone. It's going to be a fast drone. Let's make it type 4. Give me one explosive strength. And then give me one space of null. So it can take a bit of damage. Actually, no, it won't take more damage, but it won't do as much. But yeah, that's more for against an ESG. So like that, and go okay. Now you have super. So if you want to, you can go here, and it's now we have, oh, not enough room. Big surprise. This one, you can change that to that. So now that's gonna be type 4-XNF. And if you wanted to, obviously you know the symbology here, you can then actually write it all up yourself. You can actually create a text file with your loadout without actually using the client first. You know, if you know the format, which is pretty simple, type, and then that designator right here. Relatively simple. And if you want to know the symbology, it's all listed right here. You'll see the letters right here. You know. So that was one of those things that I was working on Monday. And just for those of you interested, one thing I plan on doing next week is I will be taking off my day job. The whole week I'm taking off. I'm not working my day job. I'm the whole idea of it is something simple. Basically, act as if I'm retired. In that, focus on SFB Online and Starfleet Warlord stuff.
Oh man, I was gonna say you could come watch some God Kids.
No, that was not the plan.
Do you watch their grandkids? I got the second best thing for you. They're God Kids.
Well, it's understood. I understood, Doug. But
Godfather's coming. You need to clean the place. Get to it, boy. Oh my God, that would be such a great thing. You could. I approve this pretending to be retired for.
Well, I might not. If I stay there too long, I might not pretend anymore. I might get fired. But anyway, yeah. Lord knows. Doug. You don't want me to come to your house for a day. You really don't. Because Erica might want to kill me. So.
No, I'm okay with it. I get really tired of being the sole person that says clean this thing.
Oh. At times. Oh, understood. And there's. Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah, plus, you don't have to look at that part. You can actually go to the part that I keep somewhat neat. And we could play overclocking games. I actually did switched all the parts around, and with the best GPU and the 16 gigs in it, the Linux Mint wouldn't run Eve. I mean, it'll start the client, it'll do everything, but it's not like it's not able to run the game. And I think the biggest part of that is just having the Steam overlay running at the same time. When Steam wants to have a minimum software requirement of 16 gigabytes. Right. So I think that's just hogging it up.
That
even when I shut it down, it's still running in the background. So, yeah.
Understood. Okay. With that, that was the two things I wanted to do quickly. Obviously, that was not the case. So we're going to at least go through one monster, which is, in this case, the monster with scenario SM8, which is from I forget which captain's log it is. I know if Russ was on, he would tell me immediately what it was because of actually he gave me a document which states, I think it might be at the beginning of this document where it came from. Yeah, in fact, I know it, at the beginning of this document here says where it came from. I think it's Caps Lock 32, I think. I'm trying to do this from memory, and my memory might not be so good because I read it like once or twice, you know. But you know, it's of course Ignis, Igneous. I'm sure if you've seen the captain's log, the captain's log that has this in it, actually, this is the main scenario for that captain's log, and on the front of it is the Igneous itself with a starship. I remember seeing that. I think it even has a planet on it. Obviously, in this case, the scenario says, as stated, heading on a collision course for a densely populated planet is a huge planetoid called Igneous. A starship sent to divert the menace is greeted by hails of fire, weapons fire. And just a reminder, okay, the Igneous is an enemy. Big surprise. It's a robot battle station, is what it is. Build an extra galactic power. Oh, another extra galactic power that's out there that wants to kill us. Big surprise.
Yeah, we probably watched our TV series from the 50s. They didn't get up to the good stuff in the 60s.
Actually, that reminds me of a post I saw on Facebook. I read it today, which was from Peter Pekia, which was he watched the 2 seasons of Space 1999. So, you want to talk about?
Yeah, it said it aged rather well.
And unfortunately, you mentioned how season one was really freaky. Season two was more sillier. He said sillier and a lot more action. And part of that seems to be related to originally they had canceled the show, but then last minute they brought it back. I'm not, see, here's the one thing. I'm not sure when that show was on in the time frame of TV, whether it was competing against Star Trek or not, or some, or maybe Battlestar Galactica or some. I don't think it was competing against Battlestar Galactica because I think that Space 1999 was on TV around the 1970s. And I'm pretty sure Battlestar Galactica wasn't until the 80s. I forget.
Well, let's see what our friend the internet says, since we're on the internet.
Well, is he?
75 to 77, 2 series.
That's Space 1999 or Battlestar?
Yes, based 1999,
Okay.
1975 to 1977, 2 seasons.
Yep.
Interesting.
Yep. And yeah, I knew I felt pretty confident saying it was in the 70s, but and I think Star Trek was in the 60s.
Yes, it was. Star
And
Trek was the late latter part of the 60s.
right. And then the Battlestar
And
Galactica.
it also came back into syndication.
True. Which means it was kind of competing with it. In syndication, which was, it was very popular in syndication. I can tell you that. I forget when Battlestar Galactica came out. I mean the first the original one. Before it went to what, the Sci-Fi Network?
Well, Sci-Fi Network was decades later.
Oh, I know. Oh, I know. But
Let's see. '78. So this is interesting because that's 75 to 77 run,
right.
which actually precedes Star Wars. And then you've got Battlestar Galactica comes out the year afterwards. And Star Wars is right in the middle.
Yep.
Original television series is in 1978 for Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, I picked that up. Like, wow. I still remember what was interesting with the original Battlestar Galactica was that near the end part of the original series, the episodes were about that they found Earth. And then they were basically doing these outings on Earth.
Yeah, it was their jump the shark moment.
Yeah. Exactly. Right, then we have the later. Galactica.
That was
Oh,
Galactica in 1980, actually.
that. Right. Right. That's the
And then
ten.
miniseries and another series.
Ah, yes.
The nostalgia.
Yeah, I know, because I love Battlestar Galactica.
Well, and the thing with Space 1999 was the I think the biggest thing was the special effects wise for all the space stuff. They kind of picked up off of the Kubrick version of doing stuff from 2001. It's very reminiscent of that, even though it's like, what, a decade or more later.
Oh, understood. And Lord knows, I'm
They put
still.
the production value in that part, and that's what kind of made the series for a lot of people. More so than a lot of the other premises of it, because from, science fiction is more of a science fantasy thing, like the moon traveling to all those different places
Right.
and situations.
It's definitely interesting in that regard. The thing about, can you stop that? Forget the premise of why the moon goes where it goes. I think, does the Earth explode or something like that?
They have a nuclear explosion on the far side, the opposite side of from where everybody's living. They had a big old nuclear reactor or storage depot or some kind where they, if I remember correctly, because I already closed the wiki page, sorry,
That's fine.
the basic premise was they were using it to store nuclear waste, and it all went kaboom one day. And that was sufficient to propel the moon out of the Earth's orbit.
Which would be, I can imagine what would happen to the Earth.
Well, from a purely physics, oh, they actually addressed that in one of the episodes. And yeah, it was kind of like what the doom and gloom of the global warming thing from 20 years ago was, which was the whole thing about like wild weather and unpredictable weather and global warming this and tornado that and blah blah blah. But from a physics standpoint, I think if you actually had a nuclear depot on the far side of the moon, not facing the Earth, and it went off, it wouldn't actually drive the moon out of the Earth's orbit at all.
Oh, agreed.
And it probably wouldn't even push it towards us much, although it might slow or stop the very 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 slow increase in its orbit that's continual. So,
I would think
which I think
the,
would be a bad thing actually.
yeah, I would think the amount of energy to actually move, put the, move out of the orbit would have the possibility of actually destroying the moon altogether.
Oh, probably. Very likely.
Oh, and this is my, okay. Oh, is in module S1, and it is on the cover of catalog number 41. Thank you, Dave. But we're getting back to the space monsters. It's gonna be quick, but
I
it can
love the
be, yeah,
squirrel.
it's a very slow moving target that's speed one and go just keeps going right towards the planet. But it takes 600 points of damage to destroy. The Ignis has six weapons, one lost, with each 100 points of damage scored. So, the weapons are destroyed in order 1, 3, 5, 2, 4, 6. I'm assuming those are the headings. Okay, each weapon in this fire launches once per turn, as noted, because of the extragalactic nature. Each weapon is randomly simulating the fire of one known weapon. Each weapon has 120 degree firing arc, i.e., like FA arc. Mm-hmm. Set in a direction designated by its number. Okay. The chart, you know, at 328 drones have 360. Note that all arming and cycling requirements for the weapons and of the Igneous are completely and utterly ignored. Each turn after the ship has completed energy allocation and plotted its movement, the player rolls one die for each of the six weapons. This determines the type of weapon as follows and goes from Plasma R, Hellbore, a Mauler. I definitely want to read about that. A Drone Rack, Photon Torpedo Phaser 1, Disruptor Bolt, Plasma F, Fusion Beam, Tractor Repulsor Beam, Plasmatic Pulsar. I assume that's a PPD is what they mean. Okay. So the Drone Rack has three Type Fs that launches during the turn. Big surprise. Plasma R fires immediately. Mauler assumes it has 20 points of power. Wow. And Plasma Fs, it gets two Plasma Fs. As per Hellbore fires the first opportunity, best range rack. For example, the ship closes approaching this on the turn is to be six hexes. The weapon will fire at range 8, since 5 to 8 is the best it will get. If the range is less than 9, the weapon will fire as an overloaded one. Mm-hmm. Fun.
Kind of reminds me of the Berserker thing by Fred Saberhagen. Big automated robot thing that wants to kill us.
Big surprise. Enemies cannot be damaged, can be damaged by normal suicide shuttle mines, which are automatic. Then they have ship explosions. So if you want to kill, suicide yourself against the ship, that might help. Ignis cannot be boarded, not even by hit and run raids. And Ignis is also immune to electronic warfare, cannot be towed by tractor beams, cannot be boarded, ignores webs. Wow. Cannot be damaged by anti-drones, cannot be displaced. Wow. Or put in stasis. Wow. Has no critical hits and can see through cloak. Nasty guy.
Yeah. Big robot thing that wants to kill us.
Yep. To me, the shocking part one is that it ignores webs. Which, wow. Obviously, the weapons don't ignore webs, but.
What's the scale of the thing?
It's
not exactly a starship.
It's larger than that. It's 600 points of damage to kill it. So it is a moving base. Is what it is. Yeah. Yep. Well,
it's just too big.
That's what it's described as. It is a robot battle station, which is going to a planet to destroy it. Which is interesting. It's a battle station. And it's basically seeking out a planetoid to kill it.
Yeah. Kill all carbon.
Yeah. Okay. One thing. Dun, dun, dun. Of course, it has MCIDs, which fails to function after 300 points of damage. The one thing I'm wondering about.
Oh, hey, you can kill off its MCIDs.
That's
not a bad deal.
Yeah.
How many turns do you get to kill it?
Well,
before it reaches its target.
Okay. Well, okay. The planet's at 3:38:24. It's at 03:07. What's that? Jeez. Was it? Trying to calculate it. Whoa. So So it's opposite ends of the board. So it's around, geez, that would mean it's between 30 and 40 turns because it moves one hex per turn. So to say very least, just yeah, keep on pummeling at it. And let me see, let's double check on
You gotta
one.
do 600 points to kill it, and you're basically a
It's
cruiser.
movement. The starship must use plotted movement. In addition, the cruiser must. The starship, woo,
Yes, the player.
must use
You're not a robot.
plotted movement, level C1. In addition, the cruiser must plot all weapons fired before each turn begins. This is exception to C1.35. Wow. That's interesting. And
Well, they're going a little bit overboard on the it's a robot and you're not,
right.
about how you have to fight AI.
The impact of Ignis on the planet will destroy both. Hey, that's when we get rid of it. Just wait, just let it strike the planet. Then you destroy it, right? You win. So a couple billion people are dying in the process. You know, it's still dead.
Till it rebuilds itself. Yeah, there you go.
And of course they
That was
mentioned
an extra of them
that
come out of the remains of the planet.
this designer no, this scenario was designed in answer to a challenge to include solitary scenarios in the Nexus magazine. It was actually originally publication was in Nexus number 6. Wow. Tactics. The only thing you can do is carefully time your strikes will be made. When your strikes will be made, you know what weapons he may have and when he probably will use them. So be prepared to run in as fast as possible speeds and turn away as soon as you can. Even so, you're going to look like Swiss cheese before this is over. Sometimes all you can do at the end of this game and a turn with Ignis next door is self-destruct, but that's a last option only if your blast will be enough to finish Ignis. Now, my question, given how it's from Nexus number 4, what set of rules was this designed against? I say
Probably
that because before the Captain's Edition, the Commander's Edition, the explosive strength of a ship was a lot greater than Captain's Edition.
Well, and don't forget they didn't have the PPDs in it either. So it was probably a different setup on weapons that it had.
Yeah, it's possible that this was.
Remember, if they publish this in that later captain's log, 30 something, then that's into the
41.
captain's.
Da, da, da,
It's been
da.
readapted.
Right, there's a whole big write-up for those of you want on in Caps Log number 36. There was a whole big write-up on Monster Special Rules on the Igneous. Igneous, the Stone of Death, and it gives a whole big background, which is interesting. I'm not about to go through the background.
Aw.
Hey, it's getting late. As it is, I'm surprised we got to get through this Ignis, which is interesting. In obviously, it has six weapons, and there are different arcs that they fire against. So, in theory, you can avoid because of when is it? Each turn after a ship has completed any location and plotted its movement, then they figure out the weapons. Oh, that's nasty. That's nasty. So you know what possible his weapons could be? Problem is, you got plotted movement. And you right. And you
is random afterwards.
Yep, after you actually plot your movement. Because like, if you knew that you have a plasma arm facing your direction, you know, then you would go, oh yeah, you know, given that, I need to do this. Yeah.
Well, the other thing is you degrade it significantly.
Mm-hmm. Over time. Actually, that's one thing I'd have to look at is this, which is the plotted movement C1.33. Because of, I don't know how it handles emergency deceleration. Because I think there is the possibility that under plotted movement, you can still do an action to adjust the movement of the ship, i.e. emergency deceleration.
Well, the flip side of it is also, look, it's going to lose one of its weapons with every 100 points of damage you do to it. So you get a couple good battle passes on it, and you can create a blind spot.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Once you create that blind spot, unless the thing has an automatic rule of like all the weapons will bear. No, it says they have arcs. So.
Yep. Tough part is that it loses it by first shield number one, then shield number three, then shield number five, so one, then three, then five, then two, then four, then six. So it makes it hard to like have it so like half the ship is to the point where it's degraded.
Right, it doesn't lose them like all on one side.
Right, you have to get like 400 points of damage to have the right side of the ship to be blind in that, when it comes to weapons fire.
You still make a side that has one less weapon pointed at you.
Right.
And you can exploit that.
Right. So after 200, you can go down one side versus the other. It looks like a challenging one. And to me, the fun part for me was seeing that it ignores webs, because that means if you have webcasters, it doesn't matter if you have webcasters. The Ignis ignores it.
I think the weapons function would probably still work, though.
Right. Right. Oh, yeah.
And even if it's ignoring it, it's moving it one hex per turn.
Right. Agreed. I'm assuming what it means ignores, it means like for movement, it ignores it. Versus the weapons themselves. Like the drones from the drone rack will still get caught in the web. Or the plasmas will still get caught in the web.
Well, you never know.
You know?
I don't know. Did they actually
know. Yeah, I what I would do is probably look at this. The special monster special rules, because a lot of times, like webs, okay. It's unaffected by the webs. Note specifically that it ignores webs for this purpose, its weapons can fire through, and in the case of seeking weapons, pass through the webs without being hindered. Okay. One reason the Klingons have tried everything they can to capture Ignis is a strong desire to gain this technology. Wow. That would be nasty if they could figure out how the Ignis does it. But of course, Mars also is extragalactic, so it might be tied into the way the weapon system and the technology that it uses for even movement, you know.
And everybody would like to know how to ignore cloaks.
Oh yeah. Agreed. Big surprise that the things can't be placed in stasis. I'm not sure. That's something I don't. I have to look at, which is, can like star bases be put in stasis?
No.
Exactly. So, in other words, it might be just because it's too big, they can't be put in stasis, or just.
If I remember correctly, there was an in-universe reason was something about stabilizers.
Oh, the stabilizers, yeah. Which, this base doesn't have them, but doesn't matter.
Hey, it's extragalactic and it's the size of a small moon.
Exactly.
So it could be a scaling issue. It could be stabilizers. It could be anything.
Agreed.
Handwavium.
Handwavium. Agreed. Well, I think we need definitely to wrap it up for the evening because it's getting late. It's getting to the point where I'm going to turn into a pumpkin. And you don't want to see that. It gets very ugly.
Hey, if you want to pop up for a day, let me know.
We'll do.
Mm-hmm. Or we could do a game day.
I will.
Barry's not on the road yet. If he could pop out for that, too.
Mm-hmm. I will see. As I said, what I want to really do is focus on SFBL and Starfleet Warlord because of I have not spent much time on either lately. And when it comes to SFBL Online, I haven't spent much time on it for the past 10 years. I've done some tweaks here, tweaks there, fixed bugs, did some of the initial work on updating the UI and so forth. And I feel like I really need to work on improving that. That's my main focus. Obviously, there might be a time where I go, you know, next week where I go, you know, okay, I'm gonna take a break, you know, and I'll let you know.
And we could be your break from a break.
Break from a, okay, whatever. Okay. Oh jeez. What the heck? I'm supposed to do that. Come on. Show me. Show my beautiful face. Okay, well, anyway. Doug, you have a good night.
Yep. Thank you, Paul.
You're welcome. Why that's happening, but anyhow. So, yeah, the bring up OBS, the keys did not, they stopped working. I'm not sure why. But anyhow, had a nice discussion about my game a lot and a little bit about the Igneous Monster, which definitely seemed like a nasty little beast. Slow moving, but ultimately deadly. So with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.